Good evening, everyone. I'm Turk Akbay. I'm the founder of Distinctive Results, Subliminal Coaching, and a whole bunch of different personal development systems. I'm here on behalf of Larry Goins' group. This is for Inner Circle students only, twice a month call for personal development for the real estate investors. We call this meeting ASAP, ASAP, Advanced Success Accountability Partnership. I'm your coach, Turk Akbay. You can shoot me an email via asap@larrygoins.com, but I really don't check that because I really don't spend any time at his office, and I'm computer challenged. Easiest way is really if you kind of Google hashtag Turkism, you can shoot me direct messages from there, and I can get to it. For those of you who haven't seen it, I put a book list that was promised on the last call on the students on the Facebook group, so there's a book list going on there. Again, for those of you who are coming late, my name is Turk Akbay. This is the first of August, or first call of August. We'll have one more of this in 2 weeks. So my calls are with you first and third Monday, and we start at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Wherever I am, I try to log on at 9 p.m. So I was at Larry's event a couple of days ago. It started on Friday. He had a three-day event here in Charlotte. He asked me to give you a quick call. While I was prepping for that call, one of the things that came to my mind was the thought process or the theme of that speech that I gave in Larry's event was, can you hear the answers to the questions you have not asked? The answer to that question is no. So what that means is if you have a question that's in your mind right now, your mind is thinking that. And then if I'm not talking about that right now, your mind is saying, I wish you'd shut the hell up, or I wish you'd answer my question and things like that. So it's actually an interesting thought process, but it really is an important thing. And the reason of that is I was talking to one of my coaches, one of my teachers, and I was asking her about, you know, why can I not have significant improvements in my life? And one of the things that she said really struck me was, to get significant answers, you must ask significant questions. And that kind of, when I was prepping for that talk, it got my brain kind of like a jolt. I was thinking, shit. That's probably what we should be talking about, the Inner Circle people. And the reason that it kind of jogged in my brain that way is because of the Q&As that we've been having a few times in the past, it seemed like that I could be of a better service to you by kind of maybe one, answering more specific questions to kind of help you. Two, is maybe helping you asking different questions. Because you already know, right? The words don't teach. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter how many times I say it until you apply it in your life, until you see the results and or feedback that sucks. It's really, you know, a feedback. Until you experience it, it's not really your knowledge. And therefore, you can't really take that on. So asking the right question, it's not a right question, but asking the right question as it relates to you makes a big difference. Like this, for example. Let's talk about a real estate deal. Let's say that you haven't done your first deal, or you have some of the people who had time management questions that was coming up. You know, someone said, I have a bunch of kids, I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff with my church, I really don't have time, and now I'm trying to be a real estate investor. It's a little bit overwhelming. So let's say that that's the position that you're in. Similar to it, I don't have money, and whatever. Let's say that you're in a position where you don't know what to do next. So now that's a problem, right? And each problem, the way that I look at things is each problem is a question. So now I go, I can ask a variety of questions for a problem like this. One is, I want to invest in real estate, but I don't know how. So that's a question. Or I can ask in the same situation is, well, there's a lot of things that I really want to do, but I really don't have any clue on how to start. I wonder, where can I find information? So you would get different answers to that. Or in the third one, you could ask, you know, I really don't know what the hell I'm doing right now, and I hear from everybody who's somebody all their lives, and they said, fake it till you make it, blah, blah, blah. And I believe that to be true. So I'd like to apply that into my life. I wonder how that would apply to me in my situation now. How could I fake it until I make it? And you would come up with different answers. So the real applicable use of this knowledge or this conversation that we're having for you is, first of all, when you come across, and we're here to solve problems, yes, not having a pity party and not having like, yeah, life sucks. So this is not a sewing circle. This is for people who really want to get results. So the real applicable use of this knowledge that what we're talking about today for you, starting tomorrow, is to really make note of all the questions that you're asking to yourself. Because if it's not for a question, when I say question, I mean problem. You know, question means a problem that you're trying to solve. So when that happens in your brain, when there's a problem, you come across something, check the question that you're asking. Check your internal dialogue. See if that really is your own speaking, or did your parents teach you that? Check your beliefs. Really, is this a belief for you? I'll share this and then I'll open the floor. It looks like there's only 10 or 12 of you on the call, so we can actually get some real hands-on today, which will be really nice, I think. But, well, let me unmute you for a minute, and let's see if you have any questions or if we're on the same page before I get carried away. Hang on. I'm still learning how to use my phone. So I went ahead and unmute you, so you should be able to hear each other. You should be able to, here, someone's speaking. Cool. So let's do this. There's only 10 of you. What I would like to do is, first of all, let me ask you this. Since we've been doing this is, I think, our third month. How many of you are actually utilizing what you're practicing or the new thought process that you're getting from these calls? Any of you are regulars while on this call? And you can talk. You're not on mute anymore. Yeah. Or are you guys just kind of hanging out and just shooting the breeze and, you know, kind of like, oh, okay, Monday, let me make a phone call. Because if you're doing it like that and you're not really taking action, that kind of sucks. I mean, it sucks for me, but you know what I mean? It sucks for you. It's kind of a wasted energy. So let's get some juice going. Let's solve some problems today. Who wants to go first?
Come on, people. I'm usually the first one in. I'm not doing it tonight.
Go for it. That's fine.
No, I find it helpful. And sometimes things come up later that you go, oh yeah, that's right. That's what Kirk said. So. And I'm definitely taking action. That's for sure. I still have a problem with time management because I'm all over the place and doing a million things at one time. But you had said a while ago, just, you know, take those few things. I think that was one of the first or second calls where you said take the most important things. Like if you have a list of 10 or 12 or 100, take two or three. So I've been trying to concentrate that way because that it's easier for me that way to get more things accomplished.
Yeah, so let's use you as an example. And remember your name, please, because everybody sounds same to me.
Okay, it's Siri from Tucson.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So now, what's your stuck? Let's solve your issue, and then we'll move forward, and this will be a good help for everybody else.
Well, I'm very ADD, except they didn't have a name for it back in the 50s and 60s, so I'm very disorganized. I hate filing. So I'm actually contemplating hiring somebody a couple of...
So you said you're disorganized. Is that a true statement?
I think we lost her.
Are you there? Uh-oh, we missed her. Uh-oh.
I think we lost
her. What?
All right.
I'm still here.
Oh, you are there. Cool. Okay, so let me ask you this. Are you really disorganized or are you really disorganized?
Yes, I'm all over the place. It's called ADD.
What's that mean?
Excuse me?
What's that mean? I'm all over the place. I mean, that could be a good thing.
Well, I guess sometimes it does come in handy. But, you know, I'll start something and I'll stop and I'll go to something else. I'll start something and go to something else and go, oh, wait, I'm supposed to go. It's not a good thing most of the time.
So you have a whole bunch of half-baked cakes.
Yes, there you go.
Right. So I can see. So how does that relate to your real estate investing?
Well, actually, with the real estate investing, I'm okay with that. It's just in life in general. But because the real estate, I'm doing a program. And I'll get on there 4 to 6 hours a week, and I'll be looking for the HUD house. So, and that's what I do. And then, of course, I have to do my research, and that's another 4 to 6 hours a week. So I'm okay in that realm. It's just that that's the only thing I do and concentrate on, and that's part of the ADD. You concentrate on what you like, and the rest of it is just a hot mess.
Yeah, okay, so that's perfect. So now, then, the question that's emerging from this is, you know, how can I enhance or how can I, you know, help this crazy ADD side to flourish rather than beating up on yourself and saying, hey, you know, I'm disorganized and I'm this, I'm that. So you're creating a whole bunch of problem-related questions, right? But I think now you're able to kind of change the thought process to, okay, so now this is the way that I am, right? Like I tell people, I forget things. I pre-apologize to people when I meet. I say, listen, it takes me 3 times. Have we met before? They go, no. I said, good. I apologize for the next time because I won't remember you.
Right.
So when it happens next time, people are kind of laughing. I don't remember them. I'm like, oh, this must be our second time. Because I learned it takes me 3 times to remember people.
Okay.
So if you're ADD, and it's 2 ways of looking at it, right? You could go, how can I fix this problem? I have an ADD problem. Let's just say that, right? And I'm just saying usually ADD means don't know how to focus, right?
Exactly.
Right. So then it's like, how can I learn this? One, you can learn to focus. Two, you can throw some money at it and have people to help you out. So now you have a few different options to choose from, right?
Right.
So what's the next question to follow up?
I don't know.
Which one is the best option for you?
Ah, okay.
Right? Because you don't want to kind of all of a sudden decide. I mean, I guess we can, but usually when we're trying to solve a problem, our mind is there to focus on the problem, right? And like the Einstein guy said, you can't focus on the problem and solve it at the same time. You really need a break from the problem thought process. That's why when you're asking the question on the solving of the problem, it's never, hey, I want to solve this problem. It's like, what do I need to change so this is not a problem?
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, I had a dog phobia all my life, right? And now I own one of the biggest dog training companies in Charlotte. I've trained over 4,000 dogs. Like,
wow.
I have over $1 million sales on a dog training business. And it was like this. I was like, how can I overcome the fear of dogs? I'm like, God damn it, I'm afraid of dogs. How can I, like, full phobia?
Right.
And I go, hey, I know how. Learn. Knowledge is power. So I start learning about dogs. Does that make sense?
Right.
Like, that's
yeah.
the real estate. It's like, it's never like, because, listen, it's impossible for you to know everything. That's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen because the new kids, they're coming up with stupid stuff, like, faster than Google can find it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to be political, but it's, we're not even, I was just watching a movie today, or I was watching Netflix. It's not even a guy and a girl anymore. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm this and I'm that. It's like, everything is so specific these days. So you just,
mm-hmm.
we need to just go, you know what? There's no way I'm going to catch up with this stuff. That's just not going to happen. I'm
right.
old. Right?
Right.
So now
yeah.
I go, okay, but knowing what I know, where I am, how can I survive? Oop, let's scratch that. How can I thrive? Oop, let's scratch that. How can I be somebody that people are look up to? You see how by changing
right.
those questions, we
right.
go into a different
exactly.
different mindset?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't play baseball. I don't watch baseball. But long time ago, I was watching a movie, Bull Durham. And there was, and I don't know anything about baseball, but it stuck in me. And one of the characters used to tell the Tim Robbins character, never swing at a first pitch. Now, I don't know if that's a true or not. But that made an impact on me. So I always use that line, never swing at a first pitch. So
what
I never, well, when you're in a baseball, I guess when there's a pitcher, when that person throws the pitch, don't swing at it the first one.
Right.
So the application of that to my life is I never answer the first question. I start thinking about trying to go deeper. And I never... One thing is when we're coming across the issues and the questions, it's always easier to blame and finger point others. Okay? So this is a
mm-hmm.
common thing. I had a business long time ago, and I was like, oh, September 11 happened. And there were a lot of real estate investors. For those of you who are new, don't know, but I was the vice president of Metroline Area long time ago. I taught real estate investing at local community college here. And I used to tell people, crash is coming. I went to the college. I said, we should not be teaching people how to get into real estate investing. We should be teaching them how to hold their cash, because when crash happens, they'll be able to find homes. And people said, no, 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 no. That's not what people want. So when the real estate crash happened, a lot of my friends who were gurus lost everything. At the same time, I have also have more some friends who actually weathered the storm. So it's not what's going on outside, but it is how we handle with that. How are you ready for it? Are you thinking? And how do you make money? So being an investor means that your brain has to be thinking differently. The best part of your brain that's located between right and your left ear for the most part, is it's actually retrainable, meaning that you start thinking it the way that you want to think it, and then before you know it, it thinks the way that you want it to think for you.
Mm-hmm.
So be mindful of your questions and try to never kind of settle for mediocre stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's because it's not the money, right? It is the money, but you don't really want the money. You want the freedom.
It's the life. Right.
Right.
You want the life.
It's the stuff that you guys want. It really is that.
Right?
Right. So
yep.
It really is an internal job. Being an investor, real estate investor, is an easier, presumably, easier way to make money. That's, you are using that as a tool for you. But you as a person are a lot more than a real estate investor. You as a person is a lot more than a mom or a dad or a loser ex or brah. You know, you're all of those things. Sometimes a loser ex, sometimes an awesome next, and sometimes a kick-ass dad, and sometimes that, I hate you. It's all where you are. But the thought process is when, how quickly you can recover. And the quickest way for you to recover is really get involved. And quickest way for you to get involved is ask the question. And so no one can stop you from doing that, especially when you're the one who's asking it. So if you're bad at time management, you can go, oh, how can I manage my time better? Right? So that's kind of a way to think about that. Or you can say, hey, who's the best time manager that I know? Now, there are two people or three people that I know, they manage their time really well. One, Richard Branson. Two, anyone in politics. I particularly like John McCain. Right? So those people that I know, they manage their time well because I've seen them work on TV shows and different things. So now I have a different question. It's not how can I be a better time manager, but it's like, hey, how is it that Richard Branson is running multiple companies and he still has time to kind of kiteboard with a whole bunch of people, and I myself, I'm only managing two stupid rentals, and I'm not able to manage that. So you see, that question makes me feel like a loser. So it doesn't help me any. It gets me motivated, but I can actually go, hey, can I be like this guy? Yes, I can be like that guy. But what do I need to be doing for me to be like this guy? Oh, I know Richard Branson never plays video games. So while I'm playing video game, I can remind myself, hey, you know what? This is not really in line with who I want to become. Let go of the controller. Does that make sense? You understand where I'm trying to judge the memory and the thought process for the question?
Yeah. Yep, Turk, but this is not very fair because you keep talking about people playing video games versus people working hard, but there are people who work hard. They just don't maybe spend time right way. There are people that don't play video games, don't do stupid things, don't watch TV, and they are not getting to exact same place where McCain is for some reason. And you know, it's extremes, but what is the middle side for people who do not do stupid things, wasting time, and still don't quite get to the right level of functionally using that? Do you understand what I'm asking?
Yeah. Are you Olga?
Yes, I am. Unfortunately, I'm sorry, but I am.
That's good. Why are you unfortunate? You don't like your name?
I don't know, because, you know, it's I'm very carefully listening to everything you're saying, and I'm reading gazillions of books. Every week, I'm getting 2 to 3 books from your list and from other lists. So there's all this information is there. But
well, you can't learn to swim from a book.
Yes, and there's, I mean, one thing I cannot say is that I'm not trying to, and I'm handling gazillions of things, and I'm quite successful, I think, in many ways. But it's not enough, and it's certainly not enough to get a break into investment because you're keeping up with life, not the investment side of this.
Oh, so, I love it, Olga. This is great. So let's get some questions out of this. So what's stuck?
The stuck is to make all the energy that is going on, and it's going quite successfully, into a different shift when it's going the other direction in a different level, you know? It's
actually, I don't.
Okay. Well, let me put it this way. I'm personally struggling with the fact that I'm totally paranoid, fearful of success that I'm getting in everything I attempt, because it just can't be true. If it's too good, it sounds too good, looks too good, it's just not right.
Why
so you pull back.
That?
I don't know, because everything you try works. You go for money, you get lenders, suddenly you get, like, people that want to invest. And it's like, oh, wait, that can't be true. Something must be wrong. You go for, you know,
okay, but
anything.
Whose belief is that?
obviously mine. Obviously it's in my head, but you're stuck with that belief.
Okay, but is it a true belief for you? I mean, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just trying to, you know, kind of help you out. So there is a belief that it seems if it's too good to be true, it's not. It can't be true. Okay, so I heard that saying many times myself. But I want it to be kind of a specific solution for you. So, and this will be helpful for everybody else on the call. But, you know, just tell me tell me what's your stick, and then I'll unstuck it for you. Well, you unstuck it for you, but I'll help you there. I'll help you there.
It is definitely a fear of believing that things come your way is real. It's not some sort of devil, you know, action.
You just have to work hard. You have to earn.
Well, I work hard all the time, all my life, and I, you know, some things is for my good, some things is for somebody else's good. So I'm not afraid of working hard, but you do inspire people. You clearly do. You come out and you start talking about IRA, which I discovered for myself. Suddenly people turn their investments into IRA, and they're like, here's my 100,000, here's my 150,000, here's my 500,000. It's like overwhelming. I don't know what to do with that. I, you know, you inspire people, and then what? It just something is wrong. I feel fake because I give them this hope. I admire them, you know, somehow to believe that you can do something, and then you're like, you're nothing. You're like little beginner who has nothing.
So why do you tell them that you can deliver something you can't do?
I don't tell them that I can. I tell them the opportunities. It's an education. I'm an educator.
Oh.
I've been educating people for 26 years. So when I understand things, I can transform it into something that makes sense to them, and they get inspired. And then you show them the way, and then they come to you like, well, let's walk together. And it's like, ha! And then you go to people and you tell them, okay, they need money, they need money, they need money. It's like, well, there is money. I know these people. You put them in touch. But, you know, it's scary that things you try work. That's the problem.
You want things to be, you want to pay a higher price for success. Well, that's really easy. Just make things harder for you.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you work, it works, and then you get this fear that it's just way too easy. It's way too simple. It just can't be true because it's way too good. You know? I know it's stupid. It's kind of counterintuitive, but it paralyzes.
Yes, but you're
paralyzed by success. Do you understand me?
Yeah, so you're afraid of losing it, is that right?
You're afraid to lose belief or hope or faith that what you do is right because people suddenly believe you. And they believe you on the investor side, they believe you on the property side, there are people who believe you and there are people who want to help you out with that. It's just, what if I blew them off? What if their hopes are going to go crash? And then what?
Right. Okay. So you're afraid of something that you don't know what you're afraid of.
Because, I'm afraid of crushing people's hope, expectations, and admirations that you put into them because you get people inspired, and then I cannot guarantee I will deliver or someone else will, even if I put them in touch with you and an investor.
So what would be a solution for you?
Don't know.
Well, you can not work with people. You can work. So you want to come up with a proper question, right? So, I get where you are. So you're what we call a lost person, right? There's that little like a splinter in the mind. It says, the shit is about to hit the fan, even when things are gone. So you have to work for your success, you have to get straight A's and all that stuff, that's fine. So, but you still haven't, like, for you to be able to come up with a solution for the question that you're asking, you have to, you yourself, it's not for me, but you have to be able to clarify your own question. So in other words, if I'm hearing you, and I'm just going to give you different scenarios, so, right? If I'm hearing you for one of the somebody else that says, oh, yeah, okay, fine. You're afraid of, you know, ruining other people's money? Fine. Don't work with other people. So if you go, hey, I don't want to ruin other people's investments, when you mentioned that two calls ago, I said, hey, it's easy. Just don't screw up. Right? That's a simple answer. So now what you can go deeper and say, okay, but what is it that is the cause of that fear? Is it because I don't want to let them out, or, you know, because these people are giving me their life savings, or, you know, you want to clarify what that is. Because now you can change that solution to, if you were working with investors who got shit ton of money, that they really don't care, right? I mean, there are lots of people like that. And if you're dealing with, you know, someone needs 100 grand for a deal and the guy has $10 million, 100 grand, he loses it. That's not his life savings. Versus somebody who's a retiree, you go, oh, it's 100 grand. Let me move money from my IRA to I want to move it to this and I want to move it to that, right? And so it's their life saving. But you, as an investor, you want to be able to define who your customer is, if that is really important for you. If borrowing the money is super important, that causes you stress, you, the investor, Olga, you want to go, okay, how can I solve this problem? Easy. I need to be with people who have shit ton more money than who I have. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to solve your problem, but it is really important. You can spend, and I get like this, I call it, I'm not suggesting this is you, but sometimes I get in this vicious cycle of, I liken it to sitting on my own urine and complaining about the smell of urine. So at one point, you have to go, oh, man, this sucks in here. I got to make a move. And now you have to ask different questions. Bring it out more, baby. We can fix this, Olga. You're right there, I know. But let's see if anybody else has a question that they want to bring to the floor. Anyone else that have a question that needs answered?
Hey, Turk, this is Corey in Utah.
Hey, Corey from Utah, what's going on?
Hey, I think I have a situation that more people can relate to.
Go for it.
So I have, I'm an appraiser. I have an appraisal business, and it seriously exhausts me. So that I have no energy, to focus on trying to find real estate deals in a very, very competitive market, where everybody and their dog wants to be a real estate agent, a real estate investor. Yes, and. And so that's my problem is with, you know, family commitments and which, you know, I have four small kids and, you know, I know other people on this call might even have more than that. But with my business and my family and all my other obligations, it is really difficult to find time to devote to real estate investing. And
perfect.
So my problem also is that, and like a lot of people, you know, I've read all the books. I've to the point where I feel like I'm really annoyed by them now. I feel like they're just constantly telling me that I'm doing the wrong thing and I need to be doing something else.
It's like those workout magazines.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that is one triumph that I've had. is late this year is I've gotten in really good shape physically. And so, but I feel like I've needed that and, you know, worked out some spiritual things also. So I feel like this year I've come a long way in those respects, but not where I need to. I haven't done a single real estate deal in years and years of learning about real estate.
And you want to do a real estate deal?
Yeah. That's why I paid for the coaching, and that's why I'm on the calls and stuff like that.
Yeah, okay, fine. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you kind of get into something. I always thought I'd want to do Aikido, and then I did two lessons. I'm like, yeah, this sucks. No shame in discovering, you know. But so you do want to do real estate. It sounds like it's just kind of a lack of time.
Yeah, for me, it's really the only way I'm going to have any retirement. Anybody who knows anything about appraising, that like the appraisers are licensed until they die.
Yeah.
Because there's no the cycles kill you and you don't make very much, honestly.
Yeah.
And
so you
want to
do real estate investing, but you're out of time.
Yeah.
Sure. So let's turn that into a question, and then let's see if we can get an aha moment for Corey from Utah.
Okay, so how can I find the time when I've got all this stuff in my life already right now that really demands time? You know, I can't give up my job to jump off into real estate investing when I haven't done a deal and put my family and my current situation at risk. How can I find the time to put into real estate investing what it takes to do deals?
Perfect. How many hours? So I'm going to ask you some series of questions, okay?
Yeah.
Cool. How many hours free time do you have a week?
Free time? Zero.
Yeah, for yourself.
For myself, the hour and a half a day that I exercise.
So that's for physical exercise?
Yes.
Do you meditate?
Yes, for a little bit when I wake up in the morning.
Yeah, so you want to do that, right? So you carve yourself about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and you meditate. That's perfect. So what are you going to do with the money from the real estate?
I'm going to put it towards retirement and, you know, living the lifestyle that I want to live.
Good. And how much money is that going to take?
$1 million.
$1 million cash?
Yeah.
If you have four kids, it's going to take a lot more than that. I promise you that.
Okay. Okay. Then more than that.
Well, you see, though, but now we're coming into something. You don't really know how much you need. And therefore, we can't figure out a time slot. So now we need to work on some other stuff. This is beautiful, Corey, man. This is really awesome. So all the things that you want to do is you want some money so you can be free, so you can spend with your kids.
Yeah.
Or pick up golfing or a mountain bike or, you know the things that you want to do.
Right.
But currently, with the kids and the work and all this stuff, there's just not even an hour a day that you can carve out. So now what we want to be able to do is now we have a question for Corey, and this is for you to answer for yourself. Where can I carve an hour? So now your brain can go, let's think about this for a minute.
Yeah, the tricky thing for me is I almost feel like I have to do it during business hours because of my outside obligations. And I'm honestly, here's what I'm doing already.
Wait. We're not solving the problems yet. The problems will come to you tomorrow and the next day when you're meditating. I'm only kind of putting seeds into your brain.
Sure.
You have to germinate or whatever is the, you know, they have to, whatever. All right, so, but you can carve a few hours, but you can at least carve 1 hour of your day.
Yeah.
Or 30 minutes of your day, you know, somewhere where you can carve an hour. Well, so now you have some free time. So you see what I mean? I don't want you to think this like, ooh, how can I carve an hour? I really would like you to think of this as a skill set for you to get whatever you want to get. It doesn't have to be an hour. It could be, how can I hire somebody to handle all my appraiser stuff? Do I need to get an apprentice? You see what I mean? It's like we really get bogged down on single-step solutions. It's really a fallacy of the education system that does not let you go to C before you're done with the B. But that's not how your brain works. So once you guys, the investors, start readjusting your brain, which is one of the most sophisticated machines that has been ever created by whoever created it all, right? So once you put your brain in the right language, and then you just let your brain come with the answers. Because, Corey, you're where you are because of Corey driving. My specialty, when I work with people, I try to get them the hell out of their way. I go, put it on autopilot. Let the brain do the work. You know what I mean? So, but what you're saying is true. The effort part of it, and what somebody was saying earlier, you know, no one puts statues of people who succeeded quickly, right? So we think that we really have to struggle, and that's not true. We also get stuck in a first question. We go, oh, I can't do it, I can't do it. And that's just like, that's sort of in your language. That was beat into us by our parents. So it's really important, like, get rid of the silly question of, like, why? That's like the dumbest question. I never ask why, except when I get pulled over. But other than that, I never ask why. I'm always asking how. How can I fix this? How can I work around this? How can I talk myself out of a ticket? How can I do this better? How can I improve myself this? And then I sit and breathe a little bit and look for the answers, and I dump a whole bunch of them, and I'll usually come up with 50 answers, or 20 answers, and usually 19 of them are going to be bullshit. But the last one that really came out, that usually is the really nice one. But really, like, your internal dialogue, please, pretty please with sugar on top, really pay attention to it, because it was programmed to you before you thought, before you knew it was being programmed. And I don't know about you, but my parents are not fit to be parents today, let alone when I was a child. So as investors, put your brain to work. Put your brain in the game. Corey, you're already in the industry. You know what I mean? You already got the skill set. I would, like, I'm not suggesting, please, you know, I'm not in the real estate game. But if I was an appraiser, and that means that I know something about real estate, right? And I'm really good at what I am, because clearly if you're too busy, right, that means you're doing something good, something right. That should be no brainer for you to be able to find some joint venture people. Like, that should be no brainer.
Yeah.
Just put it out there. Yeah. I mean, like, do this. This is August, right? August.
Yeah.
September, October. Like, if I were you, where in Utah are you are located?
In close to Provo.
I only know Salt Lake, so I wouldn't know. But
yeah, it's just south of Salt Lake.
Cool. Yeah, so it's a cool market. So you should be able to get a house in the next 90 days. So that's your question, I would ask. Like, dude, what do I need to do this 90 days? And just keep asking that. Well, don't keep asking it, but really just, like, devote 3 days to this. How can I get deals in 90 days? Just dump everything that comes into your brain. And then you'll have more questions. And then how can I do this? Write it down. How can I do that? Write it down. This will work. You just got to, but you got to do the legwork, meaning really have to sit on your ass and really ask that question and really put these to work. I mean, what I'm telling you, put it to work. It works for me. That doesn't mean it won't work for you, but if it works for me, it's likely to work for you as well. These are not theories. These are how I solve my problems.
Hey, Kirk, can I jump in a minute for Corey?
Go for it. Well, you have to ask Corey.
Yeah, Corey,
sure.
Can I jump in on this? Hey,
yeah, sure.
Is there a RIA group in Salt Lake?
Yes, there are a couple that I have been to.
Okay, so those meetings are only a couple hours a month. Like the one here in Tucson is two and a half hours once a month. So if you really want to be in real estate, that's a place to go to find your JV people, your deals, your seller finance deals. If you don't have the money, get a seller finance deal. Otherwise, find a JV person that has the money, wants to do real estate. So if you can dedicate 3 hours one night a month, then you might be overthinking and trying to, you know, think that you have to put in several hours a day or a week. Just start going to the meetings because all your contacts are right there.
Yeah, that's really good advice, and I know that that is where I'm stuck because I have been to those meetings just a couple times, and of course, uh-huh. with my schedule, like I have them on my Google Calendar every month, and every month, without fail, something comes up that makes it so I absolutely cannot attend the meeting.
Okay, so what I've done, because I like to take yoga, and what I started doing, because everything was coming ahead of the yoga, I just crossed off that day and said yoga, and I don't take any appointments until after 1 o'clock till my yoga class is over. So you can still do the work, but you need to cross it off and say, listen, if you really want to be in real estate and that's the place where all the people are, you need to jump in on those meetings because it's only one meeting a month, the regular here in Asria. It's only once a month, 3 hours a month, and start meeting people there because there's your money, there's your deals, there it is.
You know, you're right. That's what I need to do more than anything, and that's what I've felt for months.
How old are your kids?
Yeah, one thing that you get from Rhea, and you know, my experience was kind of mixed for myself. And I was the vice president. I thought, you know, I was like, because I wanted to play the game at a bigger level. But one thing it does make is it really keeps you sharp, meaning that you start learning the language, you got the energy, and you're out of your own head, and you start talking to people. Like she said, you start, you know, like you actually do your joint ventures there quicker than
right.
all other places.
Right, exactly.
I like to volunteer for the people who have the skill set that I need. So if you like something, it's always good to find an organization that they're doing and they need volunteers for it and really go work. I mean, you have skill set. But what I hear you say is you don't like the knowledge. You just kind of like the oomph, right?
Yeah, or the really being able to realistically carve out time every day to focus on it.
What time
do you have? I used to wake up really early. I hate waking up early.
What time do you get up now?
Right now, probably 6:30.
Damn, that's a normal time.
Yeah. Before,
So one of my employees, we were talking about this, and a manager of I used to manage a guy's business, and I used to complain about not having time. And Brian, my boss, told me, he said, Turk, I'm trusting you with running my business. You can't even run your own 8 hours. So it's like that. So if you cannot really carve an hour for yourself, just like I'm a foreigner, so I get this stupid stuff, right? But if you an hour for yourself, you can't offer anything to anybody anyway, including the family and the friends and the business. So I would work on, Corey, developing the skill set. Hey, this would be a good skill set for the next call on the priorities. And I'm not talking about, you got to have priorities. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. But really being selfish enough to do what really matters for you. This includes telling, you know, your family and friends and stuff. It's like, hey, I need to read this book. I love you, but you're going to need therapy anyway. Scram, I need 15 minutes, and then I can come and pet you. You know what I mean? Like, that's a skill set of a time manager. And so maybe don't worry about anything else because you already had the knowledge, but really get your priority skill set. To me, when I were in a similar situation as you are, I learned to say no, and that was really helpful. So when people say, hey, can you do this? I used to go, no, let me think about it. So rather than let me think about it, it was like, no, but let me think about it. If I can, I'll let you know. So that gave me an opportunity to carve that time off. But if you're meditating, it'll come to you. You can't not meditate and be, well, it's a big words, but, you know, meditation is really important.
Yes, and Corey, if you let everybody know ahead of time and just say, wife, children, da-da-da, I need to be at this meeting on Tuesday nights from 7 to 9. It's very important, you know, for our future, for business, that this is what I need to do. And if everybody knows ahead of time, then they will run their schedule around that.
Hey, yeah, good advice.
Give
them
a
Corey, if I can
say, hey, I can't make it tonight. No, you're giving them a month ahead of time. And also with the RIA groups, they have very inexpensive education. So, I mean, that's where it is. And I've been going to the RIA here in Arizona.
What kind of real estate are you trying to do, Corey?
Just residential real estate. So really with my coach, I've talked about just wholesaling and seller financing.
That's easy. You don't, that really doesn't require a whole lot of time anyway.
That's what's frustrating to me is, if, you know, I've got to get a deal off the ground. You know,
it's
I can't be the loser who doesn't get a deal off the ground.
Wrong language, brother. Wrong language.
Yeah, bad.
Like,
you
know,
loser.
The thought process is like, man, when I was early in the game, I could smell the investors that was before me, and it felt like I was like, damn it, Carl, damn it, Christian. Damn it, Scotty. Damn it, Larry. There's like always the day before or, you know, $5 more. And I was just frustrating the hell out of me. Yeah, that's normal. Don't let that get into your game. But, again, you know, if you're not able to carve an hour, I would not worry about anything else except working on a skill set. Hear me out on this. I'm not saying carve an hour. I'm saying learn the skill set to manage your calendar and learn the skill set to tell your wife, sorry, kid, you're going to have to wait, or to tell somebody, hey, I take Wednesdays off. Because, you know, return on investment is what you're looking for. And when you're an appraiser, one of my companies, like the dog training service, it sucks because you can't stop. Right?
Yeah.
So, that's why you want to get into the real estate game. And so that, you know, you can't, what is it? You can't steal a second base while you're both of your feet on the first base. So work on that carving. Trust me, we're August, September, like, just carve an hour between now and the next lesson. Just like
mm-hmm.
in 2 weeks. And you don't have to do it, but just say, hey, Turk, I found this hour. And then by November, you'll have a deal. I promise you.
Okay, that's what I'm going to do.
Cool. I'm going to hold you accountable. Well, I won't hold you accountable, but you know, I'm not your dad. You keep yourself accountable, but come be proud in 2 weeks and say, Kurt, I found a way to carve an hour, and this is how I'm going to do it. It's all about questions. Just keep asking how, like a child that's annoying. How? But your brain is a magnificent piece of equipment that we don't know how to use it. No one knows. I have a company that we launched subliminal coaching. One of my business partners is a neuroscientist. She's got like a master's degree. Like she runs a company with 10,000 employees around the world. I go, Nancy, how does brain work? She's like, electric circuits. No one really knows. I was like, what? Yeah. So, like, stick it in there and let it rip. It's going to work. Questions. Really focus and pay attention to questions that you ask. Replace any why with how. Every time you say why, just stop. You say there's no bottom on that. And just go how. And then go from there.
Okay, sounds good.
Cool. Anyone else?
Can you define success?
All right, let's go with the female who started.
How do you define success?
Oh.
You.
Me personally?
You personally. How do you know that you're successful?
I define success by the amount of joy I feel at every moment-by-moment basis. I go, now, am I in joy right now? Right now, is it joyful? Right now, is it joyful? Right now, is it joyful? Right
How do you
now,
train yourself to see it that way?
I'm just asking it every moment. I go, am I in joy right now? Am I enjoying myself right now?
Of course you are. You're not selfish then.
Pardon? I couldn't hear you.
How do you know that you're not selfish? What's the definition of
selfish
versus successful then?
I am selfish. I'm very selfish.
How'd you learn to be selfish?
Well, I decided what's most important thing for me. Well, I learned at one point in my life, everything that I do, it doesn't matter what it is I do it because I think it's going to make me feel happy. I get married because I think my wife is going to make me happy. I bought a car because I think that's going to make me happy, right? I'm making money because I think that's going to make me happy. But everything that I do is because I want to be happy. Once I realize that everybody is the same way, right? That's what you want, Olga. That's what Corey wants. That's what Sarah wants. That's what Michael wants. That's what Larry wants. Everybody wants to be happy. That's the one thing. So then I said, hey, can I be happy right now with what I have? Yeah. And I'm happy with what I have, but I'm eager for more. I want more, but I'm happy where I am.
Where duty and responsibility comes in play in your happy world?
I can't give what I don't have. I can only show with my example.
And still, where's the duty?
Pardon?
To your parents, to your kids, the duty. Is there presence, the concept of duty, responsibility?
There's no such thing. That's programming. I only do things that makes me happy. Now, it makes me happy helping people, right? But if it doesn't make me happy, I won't do it. And as far as the parents, I'm not the right person for them because I don't believe just because my parents decided that they want to be parents that I have a somehow duty that, I mean, they're responsible for how they feel. I'm responsible for how I feel. I can only be responsible for Turk. Like everybody else, you're on your own, kid. We don't own people. Like I can't stand on my head to make you happy if you're in a shitty place. You know, I can't be like, oh, like, you know, that's the same circus monkey.
Is that okay to be so self-centered?
Listen, everybody is self-centered. They don't say they're not self-centered, but every one of us is selfish. We have to be okay with this. But what I think you're referring to is, can you be selfish at the expense of other people? That's different. But selfish, trust me, people don't want to admit it because there's a different thought process. But everyone is selfish, 100%, including you. Yeah, you see, once you're okay with that, now you're like, okay, now you can be okay in your own skin. When people accuse others of being selfish, what they mean is you're doing something that makes you happy. You should stop doing that, and you should do what makes me feel happy. Does that make sense? This is like really deep esoteric stuff that we're talking about. Like, you may want to follow my, I don't know if you know, this is not marketing, but I do have a blog called turkakbay.com. T-U-R-K-A-K-B-A-Y.
Can you spell it again, please?
Yeah, T-U-R-K-A-K-B-A-Y. com. Or you can just Google hashtag Turkism, and then it'll take you there. But today was a really hard day for me. I had to put my first dog down. So with your permission, I had to go and cry a little bit because I already miss him so much.
That's a shame, Turk. He passed over the Rainbow Bridge, huh?
Yeah. He's eating cats now, so he's a lot happier than I am. That's for sure. I'm miserable.
Oh yeah. Unfortunately, they don't live as long as we do, and as a foster and rescue over here, it's tough. It's real tough. So
yeah.
But you know, prayers up, and know he's in a better place. It's better than having them suffer. And we just want them to be here as long as we are. And unfortunately, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's all good. So, that's the curse of dog ownership. All right, we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Do you have a subject that you want to cover next in 2 weeks?
We'll
so this was more
that.
Esoteric. But
can we work on time management?
Time management.
Organization.
Okay. Time management next call in 2 weeks at 9 p.m. Be sharp, 9 o'clock.
Okay. Thank you, Hans. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Okay.
Right. Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, thank you.